There are all sort of trails, but you never know how the conditions of those trails are, like if people actually run on these trails. And with the Strava heat map, you can have a very accurate idea if the trail that is on the map is actually a real trail or not. Welcome or welcome back to the Virtual Podcast, Running Long. I'm your host, Francesco Puppi. I'm a professional athlete for Nike and also a Virtual coach. Today's guest is Steve Kren, a trail runner from New York and a Virtual coach. In this episode, we talk about how to find new trails and how to plan routes. Of course, going wild without a plan is entirely possible, but planning and following a route has several benefits. First, you know in advance where you're headed and what type of terrain you'll be running on. Plus, it's easier to predict how long your run will be when you have a plan in mind. So if you have a session or a long run, it will be way easier to estimate how long you will be out. In this episode, Steve and I give some tips on how to find trails when you are in a new place, for example, for a work trip or when you are on vacation, how to build routes, how to discover the most popular trails in a certain area, how to take advantage of the heat maps and the most popular GPS navigation features, and how to send a route to your watch. For those of you who are new here, Virtrun is the number one training app for trail and ultramarathon runners of all levels. Our mission is to make trail running accessible to everybody everywhere through affordable coaching. This year, once again, Virtrun is the official online coaching partner for the UTMB Mont Blanc event and the Skyrunner World Series. Discover more on our app and unlock your best finish ever with Virtrun. Also, as a podcast listener, for those of you who want to give training with Virtrun a try, you can take 30% off your first month of training with the code RUNNINGLONG30. So here we go. Without further ado, please welcome back, Steve Kren. Steve Kren, welcome back to the Running Long podcast.
Francesco Puppi, always great to be here. Thank you for inviting me back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's been a while since we recorded our last episode, which was actually pretty popular, like one of the episodes that our audience appreciated the most. So hopefully we'll get to record another good one on some of the topics that we really, really care about, which usually related to like the mental challenges of trail running and training and all of that, which I feel like is a big part of how we live the sport, not just, you know, the process of training, the technicalities and all of that, but like the mental component and the emotional component of trail running, which is beautiful and important to understand.
That'll be fun to talk about when we get to it.
Yeah. But for today, we scheduled a podcast about how to find trails and how to plan routes, because I don't think it's a topic that is addressed enough. Like, yeah, we talk about trail running, but for some people, the trails are not as accessible as, you know, maybe for me or for other people. Like if you live in a city, it's not that easy to find trails. And even if you go like to some state park or national park or wherever, it's not that easy to figure out where you can find trails and how to build a route that is safe, that is okay for your training, is not like too dangerous to run on. If you go to a new place, course you don't know much about that place, that's not a trivial question, I think. So of course it's entirely possible to go without a plan, like just, you know, start running on some road, then that maybe becomes a trail, and like embracing the spontaneity of trail running is beautiful. But also following a route has several benefits, because you know in advance where you're headed to, what type of terrain you can expect. It's easier to predict how long your long run will be. So if you have like a session or a long yarn, it will be easier to estimate basically how long you'll be out. So we will be talking about tips on how to find trails when you are in a new place, and also how to plan routes thanks to the technology that is available to pretty much everyone. So maybe it would be good to start from your experience. For example, if you go to a new place, we know that you are from New York. So I guess you don't have as many chances as I have to go to the mountains. How do you plan a route and how do you find trails?
Yeah, it's a great topic and a great question. And I know right before we started recording, we were actually just chatting about, you were asking me where closest trails and parks were to me. Yeah, I'm no longer in Manhattan, so I'm outside the city. And I was mentioning how we have to drive a certain distance just to get to trails that aren't, you can't just really run there, run to it, and then get your workout in. So I think that's one thing I'm reflecting on. And then also, I just want to make it the statement that maybe this is from my experience entering the sport, finding trails and sort of the uncertainty, fear, anxiety around that is actually a barrier to entry for people who are thinking about trying to get into trail running. I know for me, it was a bit, took a bit of time to figure out how to do that many years ago. I was not involved in trail running, it was really road running. And no matter how many people I talk to, they didn't really understand the concept of trail running. And maybe this is a Northeastern US, New York perspective, but it is still a little bit niche. And there aren't as many people, generally speaking, although it's growing, who will have great recommendations for trails. It's really centered around hiking and not really running, which is, you know, our sport has a lot of hiking in it, but you want to be able to have options that you can open up and run on as well to get used to that. So I just wanted to leave it at that. So I think this episode will be really important for people who are even just beginning in the sport to know where to start.
Exactly. Yeah, I think for the experienced runners to find new trails and to build routes, it's not really an issue, but we do want to decrease the barriers of entry for any beginner and new person approaching the sport of trail running, because we want to make it as accessible as possible, of course. So again, this is basically the reason behind these episodes, and maybe even some of the experienced runners will find some good tips or ideas to take even more advantage of the technology that we have to build routes and to find trails, for example, something that they have never thought about.
And there always seems to be new websites and resources available, so certainly could help.
Yeah, we'll cover that.
Yeah. And, so, and I think, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, I was going to say, I break this down between, I guess, two different ways. You have the, I guess, old school classic way of finding trails, which is not necessarily technology-based. And then you have the technology-based ways of finding routes and trails to run on. So if we started maybe with that classic or old school way of finding routes to run on, I think for me, firstly is joining a running group has been instrumental for me. And I think that's a great way to start. So if wherever you are located, if you're able to somehow find a running group that's already established that is trail specific or road and trail, or even just road. I mean, there's, you might find people there that are into trail running as well.
Yeah.
Building that network will really help. One, it will help you get out there and stay accountable locally to get on the trails instead of defaulting to maybe your comfortable road route loop that you might be doing. It'll kind of force you in a way to get out there because you want to, you're held accountable by your peers, your friends in that running group. And then you build a network of people who can make recommendations if you're traveling somewhere, if you are looking for something more technical, if you're looking to even get a mini getaway and organize a trip with some of the people in the group, which we have done on occasions. So I think that that's a really good way to do it. And if you don't have a running group, you can always try to start one. So, you know, that building something is an idea. It takes a little more effort, but a group of runners is a great way to find trails and routes.
Totally. I was thinking about, my first experiences on the trails. They were definitely inspired by other people. I was just simply following other people running on trails. So that's how I discovered, the trails around my area, even the the easy routes that are accessible from my house, for example. And I don't think we should divide into two separate categories like road and trail runners, because there are plenty of road runners who run on trails, especially for their easy runs, for example. And there are plenty of trail runners who run on the roads, on the contrary. So that is also very true.
Like you say, any surface available, right? The
Yeah,
reality is
exactly.
we're all runners, and we all
That's the
at
reality.
times we all at times use treadmills as well. Treadmills, trails, roads, track,
Yeah.
anything.
Cool.
The other
So, yeah.
thing I would say is for specifically if you're traveling, one, so if you're going on vacation, you're going on a business trip, you're staying in a hotel, and calling the front desk, the concierge, and asking, or just up front walking up to them and asking if they have recommendations for running routes. You could be surprised. I've at times done that, and most of them are in urban settings, so you don't necessarily get on trails necessarily, but you're able to get a safe route around an urban environment, which will get you some even just experience understanding the culture in the city and a different way to visit the community. So that's one thing to do, is just speaking to a hotel or even the Airbnb host. If you're staying at an
Yeah.
Airbnb, anybody locally will be able to make recommendations.
Yeah, and I think if you're lucky enough, you will discover other runners and you will be able to use their routes. So that's a plus. Also, you could always think about Googling like a local running group or running store where you can go and ask for recommendations. So it's always a good idea to talk to people who are from in like the area. They will for sure know much more than any of you.
Running stores are really the running stores and running groups kind of get paired together a lot, because stores
Yeah.
will kind of create their own groups. So that is a great resource. Yeah, Googling a running store. Many of the people that work there are dedicated runners, passionate runners themselves,
Exactly.
so they should be able to recommend something. Absolutely. On top of that, or adjacent to that, is local bookstores could have hiking guides. I mean, that's a very old school thing where you have paper copies of trails, hiking guides, whatever it might be. Those are good resources to start with, and it could spark some, even if you don't purchase the book, it could spark an idea to make a note to research a different area, a different park where you might be traveling.
Yeah. And then, of course, there is the vast world of the internet where you can pretty much discover any type of route. I think always one of the best ideas when you go to a new place, especially if you are on vacation, is to Google, like search for races that take place in the place where you are, because usually those races follow the best routes, the best trails that you might want to discover. So also like the idea of running on a race route always kind of excites me. So you know that, for example, you're doing a 10 mile loop or a 20 mile loop, whatever, where there has been a competition where people generally run on trails. So that alone makes me feel excited and keen on discovering a new place. So this is just to say that usually race routes are maybe some of the best trails that each area can offer. And if there is not a race in that area, there are like many websites and kind of, route libraries where you can discover places to run.
Yeah, exactly. And those races, at times that the race director might post the GPX file like on the website you could download to upload to your wearable for the route. If you want to replicate a route, or even, we haven't talked about Strava, but if you're staying in a particular area or are looking for that race, you can at times find that map that somebody has shared globally, right? So Strava is an amazing resource to find routes in those in areas that you're visiting or even in that you live in. I still find new ones in the areas that I live in now just by using Strava maps.
We're gonna talk about Strava because it's for me personally, it's been one of the most powerful tools, especially if you use the heat map. If you have the premium subscription, you can really get a very precise idea of where people run, wherever you go. But first, I wanted to know if you use your GPS app to build routes. Because talking to people, I've been surprised how relatively few people use the route builder to, upload a GPX file to their Garmin, Suunto, Coros, or whatever. And I think it's a really easy to use and, a very good tool that we should use more to plan routes, especially when we go to a new place. Or even for, planning a route in the trails where we normally run, because okay, if I'm thinking, okay, today I'm doing like a 30K or a 20 mile long run, but if I don't plan the route, like I might go for, I don't know, 35K, and it's like maybe 40 minutes of running more than what I actually need to do for that session. So planning routes is always useful, again, to have an idea of how much time you'll be spending on your feet. And also, for example, if you're running in the evening and you want to be back before the sunset, it's a good idea to figure out how much time you'll be spending outside, and building a route and not going too far always helps. So what's your experience with that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, as to your point, I probably should use it more. I have used it in the past, and the situations where I've used it have been when I'm traveling generally to an urban area for business or something, and I will try to create I'll tr create a route. Yes, I use Garmin, but what I generally do is say I'm looking for running 2 hours, something like that, and the options that they would come back with are routes that are of length that would be approximately 2 hours. I always scale that back because I want to make sure that usually you're strapped for time. I want to make sure that I have enough time to complete it because the route maker doesn't necessarily know your pace or how you would handle the hills, etc. So erring on conservative side is important, and the worst case scenario is you could always do the loop again, right? So if you were to cut it in half or something and you had a great run, you could do the loop one more time. So I think there is that, again, maybe this is a my own perspective or an American thing. The trust in the GPS with driving isn't necessarily like I don't trust GPSs with driving because they always calculate the shortest distance isn't necessarily the best roads. So I think I'm a little bit fearful when I'm asking a watch to generate a safe route for me to follow for running, if that makes sense. So
Kind of makes sense.
yeah.
But you use like the automatic feature that maybe Garmin offers to generate routes, or do you actually build a route like segment by segment? Because for example, I have a Coros, and the route builder, you like simply tap on the screen and connect the dots and build a route that is as long as steep, like you can make it however you want, basically. So you have complete control over what you're doing. And as you track the route, it gives you the distance and elevation. So, yeah, of course, you don't exactly know the terrain, but you have a decent idea of how much time that route will take, depending on your average pace, for, yeah, a certain type of run. And then you just send it to your watch and follow the navigation. Even if you don't have like the maps on your GPS, there is breadcrumb navigation that allows any user to follow a preloaded GPX route on the watch when you're running in an unfamiliar location. And the watch even gives you information on turns, like if you're supposed to turn right or left, elevation and alerts if you're running off the track. So I think that is like super useful, but I tend to always build a route by myself and not have some algorithm or technology to do it for me.
Yeah, I think that is the smart way to go. That's much more proactive. I think when usually when I use it, it's instances where I've used the route builder, it's been a like, oh man, I need to go for a run now. I have no idea. Like it's been way too reactive. So it's
Okay.
like a last minute thing where I just trust the creation. So I'm not as proactive with building. I should be. See, I'm learning something too.
Cool. I mean, worst case scenario, you can always do a down and back, like out and back
Yeah.
route. It's not a loop.
I used to live on a horseshoe road. And so I would my neighbors used to think that I was crazy. I would go like a quarter of a mile, like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, whenever I was stretched for time. And I mean, if there was a local legend segment for that, I definitely have it because it must have been hundreds or thousands of times I did that.
Cool.
Sometimes you just have to get it in.
Other tips that I can give to use the navigation features that your GPS or smartwatch generally has. I think right now pretty much every model has a navigation feature. Make sure how you set the map scale, because sometimes you can set the scale, for example, where I don't know, 1 inch or 1 centimeter corresponds to 1 kilometer or 1 mile, which is way different if it corresponds to 25 meters, for example, or I don't know, 75 feet. What would that be? Not very good at conversions, but always make sure that you set the map scale with the right zoom. Make sure you know whether the top of the screen of your smartwatch indicates either the north or the direction where you're supposed to go. Usually, I like it that way because, for example, if you have the north on the top of the screen and you're running like towards the south, basically the map is like shifted, like you basically go backwards on the map,
Yeah.
so it feels kind of weird. So setting the direction of the top of your screen, like in the direction where you run, I think is usually easier. And also know that a lot of times you have the elevation profile on another screen. So on one screen you have the map, on the other screen you have the elevation profile, so you can check the elevation and like what point you're at on a certain trail run. And then of course shifting through the other screens, you have like all the data which you might not be paying as much attention, because you have to kind of stay focused on the navigation, especially if you are on a new trail. Be a little careful not to miss the turns, of course. If you do, make sure that you check the map every once in a while, or you have an alert that tells you that you're not on the route anymore.
Yeah, and then I think it's a good suggestion because we should all take some time to really learn our watches and sit down with them, play around with them, do some test walks or whatever it might be to make sure that you understand the settings and the
Totally.
navigation features before you just decide to go out for a massive long run.
And even for people who are not really into technology, it's not that hard, honestly. Like right now, the route builder have become super, super easy. There is not really a confusion between, GPX, KML, and different types of files that we used to have. I mean, there still are, but like the apps, Garmin, Coros, Polar, Suunto, pretty much support any kind of file. So it's become way easier to make build routes and integrate it with our sport watches.
Yeah, it's a quick learning curve for sure.
I think so. Let's talk a little bit about other apps that are very useful to build routes. You mentioned Strava, of course, besides being like the athlete's social network, besides chasing segments and looking at what other people are doing. I think one of the features that is maybe underestimated is how useful it is to build and plan routes. Also know that, for example, if you're like on the Strava map and you see a segment, you see who has the crown, you click on that person, you go to his activity or her activity, that might actually be a nice route that you could decide to follow, for example. So a lot of times when I'm in a new place, I just, try to find a segment, see who has the crown or who is in the top 10 ranking that like maybe did a certain kind of loop that inspired me for some reason. And I just replicate that as easy as
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, Strava is there's so many useful things with Strava. I mean, that like you'd said, finding the routes in that way, I've gone maybe a little simplistic at times. And if you've joined a club or a group on Strava, you can post a comment or a question to the club or group, and those people will respond with suggestions. Yeah, I think we haven't talked about the segment features in Strava really with local legends and all of that stuff. So there, if you're very new to this, local legend is something that Strava created with the people who have run the segment sort of most or the fastest, or it's sort of a fun sort of game that some people take way too seriously, trying to nab the local legends, and the crowns, et cetera. So yeah, even if you don't have the premium subscription, there are definitely things that you can use on Strava.
Exactly.
I would highly recommend signing up for a free subscription if you don't have one, and playing around with it, and just don't be afraid to.
Yeah, exactly. The segment, at least I think the top 10 leaderboard is accessible with a free subscription, while the global heat map and the route builder is only for the premium subscriber. But personally, for me, it's been a game changer because, for example, on other apps, Garmin, Coros, or Suunto, whatever, like there are all sort of trails, but you never know how the conditions of those trails are, like if people actually run on these trails. And with the Strava heat map, you can have a very accurate idea if the trail that is on the map is actually a real trail or not, because sometimes, you go to a mountain, the condition can change, and where there used to be a trail maybe 1 year ago, the trail is not there anymore, so like you get stuck and you don't know how to close the loop, for example. With a global heat map on Strava, you don't have that problem because you actually know how many people are going through that trail. And you can build routes based on the most popular trails and spots where people run. So I found that to be very interesting. Plus, it's super easy to use and super easy to navigate.
Yeah, that's really, really important because I've made the mistake once before, only once before with following a this person who had done a route, and it ended up being like a bushwhacking,
Yeah,
through
that
the
can be
woods, through the
annoying.
str yeah, like what the heck is this? Yeah, so definitely the heat map, looking for the
I know that
most in depth.
Suunto, at least they used to have a free heat map. So if you don't have a Strava subscription, you can always download the Suunto app and basically have a heat map of like all the Suunto users, even if you don't have a Suunto, but you can still find out whether if the map indicates that there is a trail, whether there is actually a trail in that place. So yeah. That could be
with all of around. All of the technology apps, websites, et cetera, that are around, you don't need to purchase a subscription. You know, there are benefits to doing that for any of these apps, but if you do your due diligence and do some more research after you find something that might be interesting and start Googling around, you could probably get enough information and data to be comfortable with a route.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I was thinking how some, like, for example, I live very close to Switzerland, and Switzerland has an incredible trail network, and their tourist office, like their, yeah, basically their government, offers a really accurate, precise app with all kinds of trails for trail running, hiking, mountain biking. And it's constantly updated, even with like trail closures and you know, whether they're doing any kind of trail maintenance, whether there is any sort of problem on any route. So this is an example for Switzerland, but of course it could be for any other places. Unfortunately, we're a little bit behind here in Italy, but you know.
Yeah, in the States, I think we have the best thing that we have is closest thing that we have would be the state parks. You know, all of the, like New York State, where I am, for example, has a website where it lists the state parks and it has the trail maps, et cetera. So those are a great resource. I wouldn't say they're as updated as what you mentioned for Switzerland, but for sure, those are great resources when we're talking beyond just Strava.
Yeah. Do you use any other website or resource when it comes to technology to plan routes and figure out where to run?
Yeah, so I've, in no particular order, I've used AllTrails. Mm-hmm. Is that in Europe too? AllTrails?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do have.
There's something called TrailLink as well. I mentioned the state park or apps or websites. Some of them have apps, some of the websites just have to Google and look them up. Venza maps, which you know, could be useful also. I think there's a new one called a new website, trailrunproject.com, which mm-hmm. seems to be building up, but ultimately will be a good resource of accumulated trail listings, I think.
Here in Europe, we have Komoot that is pretty popular.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about in the US, but it includes like suggestions, point of interest, route planning tools, and basically everything you need to find the best running trails near you, the most popular routes. It's a very popular app for all outdoor sports, so cycling, hiking, running, trail running, anything. I know a lot of people also use FatMap, that I think has an integration with Strava, and also Gaia GPS, that is maybe more designed for like hikers and like off-road explorers, so like people who are really into outdoor things, outdoor adventures, backcountry adventures and stuff like that. And of course, depending on your level of fitness and what you're looking for, you can turn to different services and find the best option for you.
Yeah, for sure. It could get overwhelming and there's a lot out there. Try one or two resources and see if they work. If not, replace one of them with something else, but don't worry. Think that you have to use all of these things. Whatever works for you is great. The one thing I do want to also mention in the US, I think I have found it helpful. If you're looking to do a hill workout and it's the off season for skiing, just going to a ski resort and seeing if you can sneak on to do some hill repeats or See if you have to get permission as well. That's usually totally fine, and it's there's no concern about getting lost there. It's a good intense workout. I know we were talking about technology, but that's one thing I want to mention.
I think bottom line, if you stick to the like basic Strava subscription that pretty much all the people now have, it could be enough. You'll still be able to have a decent idea of the trails around any area and figure out where you can run, what is better to avoid sometimes.
And you learn the most by doing. So just, find something that's a shortish trail loop. Go out there, give it a go. I mean, you're gonna learn. It's not gonna be perfect at the first time if you're new to trails. Just give it a shot. If you can go with someone, that's great. And no matter what, tell somebody where you're gonna go so that they know where you're at. In case there's, God forbid, an injury,
Always be safe.
always be safe.
All
We should
right.
also mention you can ask your coach. So if you're
Oh, totally.
avert athlete, ask your coach. We're always happy to help.
Yeah, I've had many athletes asking for trail recommendations in the Alps, and we're always happy to support our athletes the best way we can.
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, and see you soon.
Yeah, thanks. Hope it's helpful for everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to our great interview today. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting us with a rating and a review in your podcast player, or by sharing it on social media, tagging me and Vertron. We would really appreciate that. If you haven't already downloaded the Vertron app, I encourage you to do so. There, you can connect for free with our trail runners of all levels in the Vertron community in our in-app groups. You can stay in trail shape with our free workout videos and get affordable coaching for your next trail running goal for only $25 a month. Thanks again for being here today. Until next time, I'm Francesco Puppi. Thank you for listening to Running Long.